this, do check out that. And I don't know, Ray, do you have anything you want to talk about, promote?
I don't have anything to promote right now, but I will in the future. So keep your ears open.
Ooh, exciting.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Bree and Nona, and look forward to the exhibition April 26th. And next time you're involved with an arts event in the city, we'd be happy to have you come on individually and just, yeah, just give us a holler.
Sure, looking forward to see everyone.
Yeah. Okay, folks, Tony the Brave is up next. And we'll be back Thursday at 5:30 next week. Talk to everybody soon. Bye-bye.
Make one, oh my, oh my.
Well, hello there, everybody. It's Thursday. It's 5 minutes after six. And that means it's time for Tawny the Brave here on CKUW 95.9 FM. Sorry, I couldn't make it in last week. Just when you thought... Well, I don't know what you thought, but... Let me rephrase. COVID hasn't gone away. That's why I wasn't here last week. I was forced to have a week holiday from work. But I was fine all the while. I'm finer now. And glad to be back. And I've got a theme today. I was excited to do it last week, but obviously that didn't work out. You've heard of one-hit wonders. There's lots of them. And I was thinking of doing a show theme on one-hit wonders that are really a lot more than just their one hit they're famous for. I may get to that someday, but in the meantime, the theme today is one album wonders. It's bands or artists that put out one album and then flamed out of existence for who knows what reason. And there's lots of great albums by artists that stand alone as that artist's complete discography. We're going to start things off in the olden days of the 60s, because there weren't really too many, you know, notable albums before the mid-60s. I mean, there were albums, but not albums as such. It was more like songs. But once we had reached, collectively, had reached the age of the album, there was a lot of artists that put out albums and just didn't have it in them for some reason to do another one. We're going to start off with a band that was actually put together by Pete Townshend of The Who and The Who's manager Kit Lambert. Thunderclap Newman featured Andy Newman, nicknamed Thunderclap, as well as Speedy Keen and Jimmy McCulloch, who was later a member of Wings. Of course, they could even be considered by some measures to be a one-hit wonder with their song Something in the Air, which I'm sure most of you know. But we're going to listen to something else from their only album, Hollywood Dream. This is a tune called Accidents. This is Thunderclap Newman on Tawny the Brave.
Aeroplane. Then I looked around. you fly your paper plane, there is no way. Life is just a game, you fly your paper plane, there is no way. Life is just a game, you fly your paper plane, there is no way. Life is just a game, you fly your paper plane, there is no way.
Thunderclap Newman there with Accidents, one of the singles from their only album, Hollywood Dream. Up next, we're going to turn the clock back 3 years to late 1966. Count Five were well known for their big garage rock classic, Psychotic Reaction, but they put out a really great album, which was called Psychotic Reaction, and there's some covers on there that, you know, including a couple of Who covers, kind of shows where their influences were. Psychotic Reaction definitely showed a Standells and even more so a Yardbirds influence. But we're going to hear another track from Count Five's album. This is called Pretty Big Mouth. Count Five there with Pretty Big Mouth. About a girl with a pretty big mouth. I love that. So, oh yeah, here we are, mired in this. It's almost like I'm going through this in chronological order, except not quite, because we're going back a wee bit again in time. Previously in 1966, the Monks released their only album, Black Monk Time. I'm not talking about the Monks of the UK in the 70s, you know, with Johnny B. Rotten and Drugs in My Pocket and so forth, who are also a really great band called the Monks. But this is one of the most unusual stories in the history of rock. The Monks were a bunch of American GIs stationed in Germany and formed a band while they were stationed there. They dressed like monks, shaved their heads into so-called tonsures, and they had a wild style of kind of garage rock, shrill screaming banjo, weird out there lyrics, and they are, I don't know, I guess they were ahead of their time, although I don't know what time they were a part of. They don't really resemble anything. Though bands such as the Dead Kennedys, The Fall, and the Beastie Boys have all claimed them as an influence. You wouldn't really hear that in their music necessarily, but maybe in their daring, shall we say. From the Monk's only album, Black Monk Time, this is called Monk Time. You're listening to Tawny the Brave here on CKUW 95.9 FM. Monk Time by the Monks from their one and only album Black Monk Time. The theme of today's episode of Tawny the Brave is one album wonders. Not one hit wonders, but bands or artists that only put out a single album and that was it. The world was left to ponder what could have been, I suppose. The United States of America, the band, not the nation, was another late 60s band. They were active in 67, 68. They're from Los Angeles. They didn't have electric guitars, which was unusual for the time. They're a psychedelic band, experimental, avant-garde, early use of synthesizers and other unusual instrumentation, and a bit of a bizarre band. The well-known rock critic Richie Unterberger wrote of them, "Their record was a signpost to the future with its collision of rock and classical elements. Although the material crackled with a tension that reflected the United States of America itself in the late 60s, He went on to describe the singer as reminiscent of an icier Grace Slick. That may be. The songs on their album are quite varied. Some of it is really downright catchy. I think this is just a great song. It's a track with the unusual title, I Won't Leave My Wooden Wife for You, Sugar. This is the band, the United States of America. The United States of America, the band, with I Won't Leave My Wooden Wife for You, Sugar. Lots of electronic bleeps and bloops in there. Primitive analog synthesizers, ring modulators, and anything but guitars, basically, is what you're hearing on that track. Blind Faith were a supergroup, maybe the first supergroup. Are they considered the first supergroup? I don't know. Never occurred to me before. Or either them or Crosby, Stills, and Nash. It's pretty close. But Blind Faith released only a single album In fact, in August 1969, right when Woodstock was happening, I think they might predate Crosby, Stills, and Nash by a little bit, like a couple of months. They released one album with a goofy and controversial album cover, a different one in the U.S. They were comprised of Steve Winwood, Rick Gretsch, and Eric Clapton and Ginger Baker from Cream, of course. They toured a little bit, but they didn't have a lot of material, so they ended up padding out their set with Traffic and Cream covers, which was fun for the audience, presumably, but not very interesting for the band. And they ended up breaking up after a single album. They might be best known for their great heavy acid rock version of Buddy Holly's Well All Right. Steve Winwood contributed a classic song in Can't Find My Way Home. But we're going to hear a different Steve Winwood song from Blind Faith's self-titled album. This is called Sea of Joy. Blind Faith with Sea of Joy from their one and only album, which was self-titled. You're listening to Tawny the Brave here on CKUW 95.9 FM. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. The theme for today's show is one album wonders. Not one hit wonders, but one album wonders. Fans and artists that put out a single album, and that was it. That was the case for Blind Faith that we just listened to, who were a so-called supergroup. People, members being famous for being in other bands and came together. That's the only case of that so far. But they just broke up because, I don't know, a lack of interest on Eric Clapton's part, I'm guessing. But they all failed to put out a follow-up album. All these artists featured on today's show for various reasons. Next up is the first of a couple artists that I've got lined up for today's show that would fall under the category outsider music. Outsider music meaning something extremely unconventional and possibly unaware of its own unconventionality. That was definitely the case for the Shags. The Shags. I can't believe I'm playing the Shags on the show today, but they came from Fremont, New Hampshire. What comes from Fremont, New Hampshire? What band would come from Fremont, New Hampshire? What an odd little place to come from. What an odd family to create a band like the Shags. They were comprised of initially three, eventually four sisters, the Wiggins sisters, Dot, Betty, Helen, and Rachel. And their father, Austin, he became convinced that they were great musicians and were going to become big stars. He practically insisted that they practice all the time, and he set up shows for them. The band did put out one album called Philosophy of the World, and then broke up after their father's death. Maybe that tells you something about why they were together in the first place. They had simple, bizarre songs, untuned guitars, erratic time signatures, disconnected rhythms, wandering melodies, rudimentary lyrics. Rolling Stone said that the sisters sang like, quote, lobotomized trap family singers. Terry Adams of the band NRBQ compared their music to the free jazz compositions of Ornette Coleman. And their drummer, Helen, she was often detached from her sister's playing and instead seemingly ignored the music and played rudiments, she recalled, from school drum lessons. And they're kind of one of the worst bands in history, one of the best bands in history. They're fascinating, and they've achieved a cult following over the years. It's hardly a wonder, possibly. Frank Zappa was a big fan. Kurt Cobain was a big fan. Surprise, surprise. Here's the title track from the Shags' only album, Philosophy of the World.
Oh, the rich people want what the poor people's got, and the poor people want what the rich people's got, and the skinny people want what the fat people's got, and the fat people want what the skinny people's got. You can never please anybody in this world. The short people want what the tall people's got, and the tall people want what the short people's got. The little kids want what the big kids got, and the big kids want what the little kids got. You can never please anybody. this world. Oh, the girls with short hair want long hair, and the girls with long hair want short hair. Oh, the boys with cars want motorcycles, and the boys with motorcycles want cars. You can never please anybody in this world. It doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter what you say, there will always be one who wants it the opposite way. It doesn't matter where you go, it doesn't matter who you see, there will always be someone who disagrees. We do our best, we try to please, but we're like the rest, we're never at ease. Oh, the rich people want what the poor people's got, and the poor people want what the rich people's got, and the skinny people want what the fat people's got, and the fat people want what the skinny people's got. You can never please anybody in this world.
They all ended at the very same time. You gotta give them that. The Shags, that maybe that's their most accessible track. It might be. And if you haven't heard The Shags before, I'll just let that sink in for a second. That was Philosophy of the World, the title track to their one and only album. And there you go. One album wonders on Tawny the Brave this week. Up next is an artist I hadn't heard of until a trip to L.A. and a meeting with a music publisher led to an armful of free promotional CDs, which included a couple of discs by the artist Margot Gurian, who apparently was this music publisher's mother-in-law. I hadn't heard of her before, but loved her music. And kind of wondered how I had never heard of her before. It turns out she's kind of well known in some circles. In fact, her songs have been covered by Cass Elliot, Glenn Campbell, Astrid Gilberto. And her biggest hit, such as it is, it wasn't that big of a hit, but Sunday Morning was a hit for the group Spanky and Our Gang and Oliver, pretty much at the time, you know, shortly after it was released. And it's a wonderful song, and she's a wonderful songwriter. She hardly performed live. She wasn't comfortable performing live. She preferred to be just a songwriter behind the scenes, writing songs for other people. Sadly, she left this earth just over a couple years ago. 3 years ago, it was near the end of 2021 when she died at the age of 84. But she left us some wonderful songs, and I've always loved this one. This is Sunday Morning by Margot Gurian. Margot Gurion there with Sunday Morning from her only album, Take a Picture. You're still listening to Tawny the Brave here on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. I'm your host, Dave Berthume. I'm glad you're with me. I hope you're enjoying the show. Some of it's a little bit challenging, and it's all super fun. I've played Margot Gurion on the show before. I certainly will be again, because... Well, you heard that song. It's amazing. Up next is a band which, well, if you're listening to this show right now, you've probably heard of, because that's the sort of person who listens to this show, I think. The Modern Lovers. Now, I know what you're thinking. The Modern Lovers put out lots of albums. Lots of albums. How many? I don't know. 15? Oh, not that many, actually. Jonathan Richman started putting out albums under his own name and kind of left the Modern Lovers moniker behind at some point. So maybe not that many, but a fair few. But it's pretty easy to make an exception in this case, because the first Modern Lovers album, it stands alone. It's unlike any of the other albums that Jonathan Richman put out. The band was completely different on that first Modern Lovers album than everyone that followed. It should have practically be a different band name. Jonathan Richman was the only constant through all the Modern Lovers albums. But that first album, Jonathan Richman was just buzzing on his Velvet Underground obsession. He went to see them many, many times. He met them a bunch of times. They knew who he was because he would always show up at their shows, particularly the Boston shows where he was from. But he traveled to see them in New York and elsewhere. And you can hear it in many of the songs on that self-titled Modern Lovers album, the influence of Lou Reed and the whole Velvet Underground sound. I say that with a hesitation because there's a lot of different sounds, but there can't be any doubt that the Modern Lovers primarily took their cue from the Velvet Underground. And a lot of bands claim that, but the Modern Lovers really sound like it. And we all know that Jonathan Richman is a singular, unique songwriter with a very plaintive, charming voice and persona. And applying that to the grungy keyboard sounds and distorted guitars of the Velvet Underground sound made for some kind of a combination that Lou Reed could never have executed. Enough said. If you don't know that first Modern Lovers album, you ought to. From that album, this is Astral Plane.
Tonight I'm all alone in my room. I'll go insane if you won't sleep with me. I'll still be with you. I'm gonna meet you on the astral plane. The astral plane for dark at night. The astral plane, or I'll go insane. Getting dark. Today we should have gone to a Central Park. Well, On the astral plane, the astral plane, for late at night, the astral plane, or I'll go insane. All right. Say it to, at least not today. Oh, well, I don't remember it afterwards. I don't yet know the word, but I know we've been together just this week. We've been together on the astral plane, the astral plane, for late at night, the astral plane, or I go insane. Well, tonight
The Modern Lovers with Astral Plane from their self-titled album. I was going to say their one and only. It's not really the one and only album from the Modern Lovers, but the Modern Lovers were a completely different band after that came out. And not to mention, the album's release was plagued with, you know, industry nonsense and Kim Fowley's non-helpful interference. Mind you, he did kind of record them and tried to promote them, so I'm not even going to get into Kim Fowley. He's a whole another piece of work unto himself. But there you go, Astral Plane by the Modern Lovers. We're listening to nothing but one album wonders on Tawny the Brave today. Not one hit wonders, but one album wonders. Bands or artists that only put out an album, and that's it. For whatever reason, as I just said, the Modern Lovers were a different instance, but going back to the so-called outsider music category that we were talking about with the Shags a couple of songs ago, Skip Spence was a notorious figure in the psychedelic music scene of San Francisco in the 60s. He was also an extremely talented and charismatic guy. He played with Quicksilver Messenger Service. He was the drummer on the first Jefferson Airplane album. He was also going to play drums for Buffalo Springfield. But instead, he went on to found the band Moby Grape, who were one of the great sort of West Coast San Francisco-based bands of the era. They put out more than one album, so I can't include them here, but their first and self-titled album is really a gem from that era. And Skip Spence was... And they were all songwriters, so it's a real mixed bag, but Skip Spence contributed greatly to that, formed the band, essentially. He's actually Canadian, too. Was born in Windsor, Ontario. Wild when there's a Canadian connection. But guess how this story ends. He liked drugs a lot, and it ruined him. He became unreliable. He would disappear sometimes without telling anybody and take off on a vacation or whatnot. At some point, when Moby Grape were attempting to do some recording, he apparently showed up with an axe and was threatening one of the band members in his hotel room with an axe. In fact, well, I don't know. I've heard different stories about this. I heard he brought an axe to the recording studio. I've read that he brought an axe to the hotel and chopped down his bandmate's hotel room door after threatening hotel staff with the axe. So a bit of a madman. Of course, he was, you know, tripping his head off at the time. Not that that's an excuse, but let's just say he was unreliable. He got sent to Bellevue Psychiatric Hospital, and after 6 months, he was allowed out. He got himself a motorcycle, or somebody got him a motorcycle, and he headed straight to Nashville and recorded an album of songs that he had written while he was in Bellevue. And it's a real classic album. There's a great tribute album to it for his album Or, O-A-R. It features Tom Waits, Greg Dooley, Robert Plant, all kinds of great artists covering his songs. But here's a song by Skip Spence from his only album, Or. This is called Little Hands.
Thank you.
And we're back. You're still listening to Tawny the Brave here on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. And if you just tuned in, the theme of today's show is One Album Wonders. And we just listened to Skip Spence, a notorious figure from the psychedelic era of San Francisco and environs, who only put one album out and influenced generations to come, so they say. Someone else, and I mentioned in the intro that Skip Spence was a drummer originally. He played drums with Quicksilver Messenger Service and with Jefferson Airplane. He was almost going to play drums with Buffalo Springfield, but he's a guitar player too. Crazy. Someone else who is a drummer, and I put drummer in finger quotes because he kind of learned how to play drums as they went along. He wasn't much of a drummer, but he was the only member of the band, of his famous band, who actually surfed, which was significant given that the band was the Beach Boys. But Dennis Wilson was clearly the handsomest member of the Beach Boys, an actual surfer, an actual California boy surfer. And he put out one album. There was plans for a follow-up, they say. I guess some tracks were recorded, but the whole album never came together before his untimely boating accident that caused his death in the early 80s. But he put out an album that continues to fascinate to this day. And I got to say, the album Pacific Ocean Blues, Dennis Wilson, he kind of locked into something a little bit magical that it was almost accidental. But I only really discovered his album, I don't know, a couple of years ago, and it's still unfolding its beauty to me. It's not a song or an album that grabs you immediately with catchy singles. It's kind of got a sadness about it and a beauty about it, and it's almost a wonder that Dennis Wilson, arguably the least talented member of the Beach Boys, put out such a wonderful album, especially during a time period when the Beach Boys were putting out stinkers, if I may say so. I hope none of the Beach Boys are listening. But here's the title track from Dennis Wilson's only album, Pacific Ocean Blues.
Oh,
And we're back. It's 7:05. You're listening to Tawny the Brave here on CKUW 95.9 FM. That was Dennis Wilson with Pacific Ocean Blues from his only album. There was actually a follow-up called Bamboo that came out in 2017, but it was just session recordings, not really a proper album. So that really is his only album. And it's a lovely album. It's a great Sunday afternoon album, summertime album. It's not very rockin'. It's kind of mellow, but it's really lovely. Well, at this point, there's a couple things that are clear to me. One is, I'm not going to get to everything I brought. I thought I had barely just enough material to fill one show, but it turns out when you talk and talk, you don't need as many songs to fill the show. And I've been trying to introduce, not trying, I have been introducing every single song individually. So less songs required, I suppose. I'm only going to have time for a few more, and there's going to be at least a few leftovers. So I don't believe I'm going to do a second show on this theme, but I'm certainly going to play the leftovers next week or sometime soon. But another thing is clear to me. I've kind of ended the 60s into the mellow 70s portion of the show, and now it's time for punk rock bands. The most famous one album wonder in the world is up next with their song Pretty Vacant. We'll be right back. Sex Pistols there with Pretty Vacant. I've got a diatribe about my feelings about the Sex Pistols and why I've always been kind of meh about them, always and forever, even though they were kind of a brilliant cultural occurrence. And they have a lot of songs that, you know, I've played on guitar. They're catchy songs and kind of fun. But something about them leaves me cool as compared to a lot of their contemporaries. But I'll save that diatribe for when we're having beers. Okay, deal? Deal. First round's on you. Meanwhile, in L.A., the Germs only lasted for one album. Sadly, due to singer Darby Crash's suicide by overdose. He was a tough character to pin down and kind of an accidental poet. He seemed like he was trying to make a statement in the same kind of the way the Sex Pistols were, but it turns out that some of the members of the Germs were actually extremely musically talented, and his lyrics lived on long after he did and really touched a lot of people. So I guess we're just going to hear from the Germs and their only album, G.I., came out in 1979, and from whence comes Lexicon Devil. This is the Germs on Tawny the Brave. That was the Germs with Lexicon Devil. And they're another one-album wonder. As was Johnny Thunders and the Heartbreakers. Now, I know Johnny Thunders had a number of albums. Of course, he was in New York Dolls and Heartbreakers. He started with Richard Hell, and then it went on to be something else. But the proper Johnny Thunders and the Heartbreakers album, I'm going to call that a standalone album because it kind of is different than everything that came before and after it that Johnny Thunders was associated with. He played here in Winnipeg at one point at, what was it, the Circuit? Or was it called something before that? I don't know. But he was great, and he was wasted. And I guess that's exactly what you expect with Johnny Thunders. He was kind of a wasteoid. But damn if he didn't write lots of really great songs. from their album LAMF, which is an acronym for something that you can look up your own self. This is I Want to Be Loved by You. There you go with Johnny Thunders and the Heartbreakers and I Want to Be Loved by You. We're only going to have time for four more if I talk fast or not much. So I'll keep this one a little more succinct. This is one of the most tragic stories to me in rock, and I'm not going to go into it in too much detail, but basically, if you like punk rock, especially the more melodic type punk rock, like let's say, you know, the more tuneful songs of The Clash, like Mick Jones type songs, or Buzzcocks, or the early Jam, things like that, then the Exploding Hearts are a band you need to know about. They didn't form until 2001, although they sound like they could have come along 20 years earlier. But they're from Portland, Oregon. They put out one album called Guitar Romantic, which is a wonderful record, chock full of great songs. Half of them could have been, you know, the lead-off single from the album, to my ears. And then on the way back from, if I've got the story straight, a show in Los Angeles, they got in a horrible car accident and three of the members died. And that was it for the band. So I guess this is a real big case of what would have been, what could have been, what should have been. Here's the Exploding Hearts from their only album, Guitar Romantic and Modern Kicks.
She says, I don't care. I don't care. I will tell.
The Exploding Hearts there with Modern Kicks. I've got time for just a couple more, and I'm going to squeeze them in because this is how I'd really like to end it. Two of my favorite discoveries that I made while researching the show were the two bands we're going to end off with. I'm skipping over a couple of great artists such as Young Marble Giants and The Laws, The Postal Service, Opal, that I'll just fold into next week's show or something like that. So I hope you'll tune in and not regret it. Daniel Miller is best known as the founder of Mute Records. He put out a lot of wonderful post-punk, electronic, straight-up punk albums, all kinds of stuff in the UK. But he had a fake band. He got actors to do interviews for the band as though they were in the band, but they really weren't. The singer from Fad Gadget, who were on Mute Records, Frank Tovey, posed as the singer of the band. He wasn't part of it at all. Daniel Miller played everything. They mostly did synth poppy but dark versions of old rock and roll songs, but there were some originals in there. We're going to hear the track Sunflight from Silicon Teens, and we're also going to end off with The Pulsars, a brother duo from Chicago who are a little more recent, and they put out only one album, achieved lots of acclaim, had a great local following, just somehow never got around to putting a follow-up. They got busy with other projects, and a follow-up never happened. They have a song that is about the band Silicon Teens, and that's what it's called. We're going to hear those two songs to end. I hope you enjoy them. This is Silicon Teens with Sunflight.
time.